Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Ask the experts about free fitting on all our kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Talks are intensifying about a so-called drone wall to protect Europe's eastern borders after a series of airspace violations by Russian warplanes and drones. Seven EU countries will meet this Friday with the European Commission and Ukraine to discuss the drone wall proposal. That's according to a spokesperson for the EU executive. But what might it look like, and how have drones transformed the nature of war? Well, I'm joined by Financial Times Brussels Bureau Chief Henry Foy and Steve Wright, avionics and unmanned aerial systems expert, who is a senior research fellow at UWE Bristol. And you're both welcome. Henry, I'm going to start with you. And can you tell us about these talks this week? What's the objective? What are they hoping to achieve?
Hi, good morning. Thanks so much for having me on. Yes, so Friday, there's going to be a virtual meeting of defence ministers from the so-called frontline states of the EU. These are states with a border with Russia or the Black Sea. So Finland, the Baltic states, Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania, Romania and Bulgaria, plus Denmark, who currently hold the rotating presidency of the EU, and Ukraine. And I'll come back to why Ukraine matters in a little bit. But essentially, this call is about keeping momentum behind something that Commission President Ursula von der Leyen announced last week, which is that European countries should work together to create a drone wall on the eastern flank of the EU. And essentially, this is in response to a series of violations of airspace by Russia in recent weeks, both with planes and with drones.
So come back then to the question of why Ukraine for you is important and their involvement.
Well, I mean, since February 2022 and the full-scale invasion of Ukraine by Russia, Ukraine's been dealing with drone attacks and missile attacks pretty much every single day and night for more than 3.5 years. They have built up incredible experience and knowledge that really is sort of ahead of any other country in Europe in terms of dealing with drones, both offensive and defensive, in terms of air defense, of coming up with different ways to deal with drones, to prevent them, and then to shoot them down, to detect them. And so essentially Europe, the EU countries are catching up, and they're saying to Ukraine, look, we need all the experience you have and all the knowledge you have. Plus there's the added benefit, of course, that if we're buying Ukrainian technology or investing in Ukraine, that's helping that country as it tries to battle back against the invasion.
When we saw those drones entering into Polish airspace, I mean, really what was exposed there is the inability of NATO to protect against those drone attacks. So that has infused this whole process, hasn't it, Henry, with some urgency?
That's exactly right. I mean, essentially what we saw was Russia flew very cheap, very easy to make drones, 19 of them, into Poland. And the only way that NATO was able to shoot them down was with very expensive, very highly advanced fighter jets that were using very expensive missiles to shoot down these essentially very cheap drones. And what it did show not only was that the airspace is quite porous, also that we weren't able to detect and deal with this in advance, but most importantly, we don't have the full spectrum of defensive tools needed to deal with things like these drones. And especially when you imagine that if Russia were to do a real attack using drones, it would do 20 times the amount we saw, plus missiles all at the same time. And essentially what the officials are saying is we need a better system that can work out what's coming and how to deal with it.
Well, a less fragmented system as well, which is why this coming together is so important, right?
That's exactly right. I mean, for example, Poland is building a pretty serious wall on its frontier with Belarus, but it's dealing with that to also keep out migrants and the hybrid threat of people trying to come across the border. So they've gone for a physical wall, very high one. Other countries in the Baltics are looking at more electronic defense, some kind of sensory border wall, more of a technical and figurative one. And what the EU is saying is, look, unless we all do the same thing, Russia's going to know where our weaknesses are and it's going to tailor its approaches.
And do we know at this stage how the drone wall might work, what it might look like?
At the moment, we don't. And that's sort of what the Friday's meeting is all about. It's being chaired by the EU Defence Commissioner, Andrius Kubilius. He's a former Prime Minister of Lithuania. And what he wants to hear from these countries is, what are they doing? How can the EU Commission help? And how can they make sure that everything is coordinated? So at the moment, we're sort of in a wait and see phase. People are putting suggestions in. And then at some point later this autumn, we should come up with some kind of unified or at least semi-unified structure And then, of course, the financing.
Exactly. And I take it we don't have a price tag on this or any information around who's going to pay.
At the moment, we don't know how much it's going to cost, but EU officials are saying that, look, there's this 150 billion euro SAFE program, which is essentially loans that are borrowed against the EU budget given to member states to defend, to spend on defensive products if they're bought in conjunction with each other through joint procurement. And the steer that the Commission is giving to these frontline states is, look, this drone wall is a fantastic test case for this project. Please, let's look at how we can use some of this money to invest in the drone wall.
I mean, this is all fits really with what responds to Donald Trump's administration this time round, where he's gone hands off. I'm not paying anymore for your defence. That EU has to step up here. NATO has to step up. But also, you have, as we've been saying, Russia testing the resolve of NATO on that eastern flank. So all of these things are conspiring together really to push the EU into this position where these questions have to be seriously considered.
That's right. And also, I mean, look, a lot of EU officials now, if they're honest, will say Donald Trump has forced us to look at things that we always knew were problems, and now we're finally having to deal with them. I think most European countries are quite comfortable taking on more responsibility for their own defence. Long term, it's a much better bet to control your own defence than to outsource it to someone else. The problem is the time gap and the money gap between where we are now and where we need to be. And this drone wall is really kind of at the moment at the pointy end of that discussion. We are being penetrated, our airspace is being penetrated on now an almost daily basis by Russia. How do we catch up with where we need to be in terms of defending it?
Okay, Henry, stay with us if you can, because I want to bring in Steve Wright, who's with us as well. And Steve, you're an expert in this area, so I'm interested to know you're very welcome. What NATO's reaction to the drone incursion, the Russian drone incursion into the Polish airspace, what did that tell us about NATO's ability to deal with that threat?
Well, just like I said, I really agree with everything Henry said there. He sort of captured it very succinctly. And so the Russian incursion, and you can see what's going on, it's a deliberate provocation. And it worked. It worked very, very effectively. And here's the trouble for the Russians, because it caused us, and by that I mean the West, to reveal our hand. And I think it's demonstrated what we already knew. The West defences are very strong and very sophisticated. But with this whole new technology coming along, they're a blunt instrument. It's as simple as that. I always think of it as, you know, a perfect weapon for facing down a charging rhinoceros, which has been honed, you know, over 50 savage years during the Cold War, but it's not the right weapon for fighting a swarm of killer bees, basically.
So what do we need to fight off the killer bees?
Yeah, well, there it is, because we talk about a drone wall, and that gives an impression that, you know, we can draw a line in the sand and defend that line. The reality is a lot more sort of nebulous than that. So let me describe it to you. There's no single weapon that we use. There's no silver bullet. So we tend to have a layered response, and not just multiple layers, but multiple methods within those layers as well. So imagine the attacks coming in. The defence starts, you know, tens of kilometres out, and that was pretty much what we saw this week in Poland, where we start deploying our very expensive Cold War weapons that we've just been talking about. And the first thing to do is detect, and if we can, to avoid risk, we end up swatting them down, using those equally expensive and quite hard to replace weapons. We then get sort of kilometers out, and so at the moment, and we've seen this in the defense of Moscow against Ukrainian weapons, we tend to see ground-based missiles, and again, though, these are way too expensive. And this is the sort of niche that people like me are working in, and we're looking at hunter-killer drones, you know, counter drones to actually fight them off, to try and do that same role, but a fraction of the cost, and at a vast number of engagements more, you know, orders of magnitude. I mean, the strange thing is, and it's going to be rather odd, but we could end up in sort of seeing something to a similar to Second World War battles, really, sort of Battle of Britain type stuff, but fought between computers, you know, in seconds rather than minutes.
Incredible.
So, quite spectacular.
Who, Steve, or which region, which country has the expertise on this? I mean, are we relying on Ukraine to lead the way here because they've been dealing with
Absolutely.
This for the last... Yeah, okay.
Absolutely. So to, just to put it in context, one of the things I've been looking at this week is for the last, three, 4 years, we've all been looking at ways to put technology into Ukraine. This week, I've been looking at exporting the Ukrainian technology to us.
Okay.
So we can use it.
Taking their expertise.
Volumes.
Well, there's
absolutely.
There's another side effect, if you like, to all of this, or byproduct, Henry, if I can bring you back in on this. I mean, Ukraine wants very much to be part of the European Union, and you see cooperation now on this level, whereas Steve has just explained to us, we need them, we need their expertise now to protect the eastern flank of the EU. So do you think that might in some way make a stronger case for the EU for Ukraine when it comes to joining the EU?
I mean, look, accession is always going to be merit-based. They're always going to follow the rules. There are 27 capitals that are going to make sure that the Commission holds firm to that. And then a couple, of course, are very pro-Russian ones who are going to make it even more difficult than perhaps the rules state. I think what's really important is that this can be a win-win dynamic. We are getting Ukrainian expertise. We will be buying their products. We will be maybe even moving factories into Ukraine or moving Ukrainian factories into Europe. And that way, the Ukrainian economy is getting a boost too. There are some research out there that's suggesting that Ukraine could increase its output at the moment by 20, 30, 40% if it just gets a bit more investment. So they want us to invest in their country. We want what they have to sell. It seems to most smart people out there that this is a win-win.
Steve, just to come back to how you deal with these the swarm of bees, as you so aptly describe them, is there any counter-drone system out there at the moment that can cope, or are they all likely to be overwhelmed just by sheer volume should Russia or any other attacker decide that they're going to just flood the place?
As Stalin said, yes, quantity has a quality all of its own, and it's very much a sort of Russian approach to war is to simply throw men and materiel at a problem like that. And at the moment, if the industrial base was great enough, yes, these systems could be overwhelmed. The other thing to also stress is that a drone wall, and discussing about how EU, we're going to collaborate and build some sort of defence, I often look at it as we're in a very similar situation to the 1930s. And if you looked at what an aircraft looked like in 1930, it was spectacularly different to the same equivalent technology in 1940. And so one of the things that I spend a lot of my days thinking about is perpetual obsolescence. So whatever we build now and defend against now, it's going to be obsolete in about 18 months to 2 years. So it's not just a thing that we can install on the ground and sit back. It's an ongoing commitment. It's an arms race. It's as simple as that. We're going to have to adapt. Please do.
Henry, go ahead.
One thing I was just going to say, I mean, you're absolutely right. However, the Ukrainians have shown over the last 2.5 years, you can take legacy equipment, you can take legacy artillery, you can take legacy guns that were phased out decades ago by European armies and use them to shoot down some of these cheap drones. And that's a great example of what the Ukrainians have done, which is build up a sort of lattice of defensive mechanisms. So you have your dumb guns shooting down the dumb drones, you have your smart electronic warfare capabilities taking down their drones that can be hacked or can be disabled remotely, and then you have the really good US-made or Italian, French-made air defense systems to shoot down the really dangerous missiles. At the moment, Europe kind of is trying to crush a walnut with an enormous hammer. What we need is a series of different ways of cracking nuts for the different things that come across the border. I appreciate we've gone from bees to nuts, but
the intellectual outlook and the philosophical outlook from a military point of view of the need to adapt. And I think that the years of the Cold War has caused us to crystallize around a series of what they call exquisite systems. And from talking to British Army guys, they roll their eyes when they see another exquisite system. And this ability to adapt and improvise is something which I think Ireland and Great Britain is very good at through history as well. And I totally agree with Henry that, yes, we end up with this huge legacy of equipment, none of which should be discarded or discounted.
Well, it's timely that we're having... Sorry to cut across you, but I just see in the last couple of moments, NATO's North Atlantic Council has addressed the Russian jets' incursion into Estonian airspace, saying it's part of a wider pattern of increasingly irresponsible Russian behaviour. Russia bears full responsibility for recent actions which are escalatory, risk miscalculation and endanger lives. So it is timely that we're having this conversation, Steve and Henry, but there we must leave it. Thank you both for being with us, and I'm sure we will talk again as things develop. That's Henry Foy from the Financial Times and Steve Wright, who's an avionics and unmanned aerial systems expert. Now, coming up, have you ever considered pickling your vegetables? Well, Chef Aisling Larkin will be with me here in the studio to explain how to get started.
Get in touch on WhatsApp 0870 32 32 32.